This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.
Welcome to Specsaver, sir. How can I help?
Hello. I'm a senior, and I've heard that for eligible seniors, of which I am one, Specsavers are giving 50% off lens upgrades on their glasses, like thinner and lighter lenses or a sun tint. For seniors.
You don't look senior. You have to be 65 or over to get this offer.
Here's my ID, which is definitely not a fake.
Yeah, this says you were born in 1877.
Happy birthday
to me. Seniors get 50% off lens upgrades at Specsavers. Conditions and exclusions apply. See specsavers.ca.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. Heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
The world doesn't need another sports show. It needs an awesome sports show. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigobon. Joining me as usual in studio, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. How are you?
Great, Wally. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks so much. Also joining us this morning, former Washington Capitol, former Toronto Maple Leaf, former Buffalo Sabre, and applied his trade yesterday on the defense for Miller Thompson in the Road to Cancer Conquer event, the world's largest road hockey fundraiser. Of course, I'm talking about Leaping Lou Franceschetti. Good morning, Lou. How are you feeling this morning, Lou?
You know what, Wally? Obviously, yesterday I never expected to carry you as much as I did. But I did see history in the making three times yesterday.
Okay, can you want to elaborate for our listeners a little bit, Lou, just to let our listeners know? Hold on, Lou. For our listeners, just want to let them know what happened yesterday. We're sort of leaving them in the dark here. We participated, my law firm participated in the Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer fundraising event in support of Princess Margaret Cancer Foundation at the Vaughan Metropolitan Center. It was a massive tournament. It was a lot of fun. 150 teams entered, 1,000 and more participants. Some of the great hockey players from the past were took part in it. Guys like Daryl Sittler, Jeremy Roenick, Shane Corson, Darcy Tucker, many of the leading professional women's players. Ball Hockey Hall of Famer Lou Franceschetti was there. So it was a lot of fun. Raised a lot of money for an incredible cause. And Lou, you and I have always talked about, we played ball hockey against each other, and Naz was my teammate with the Western Rangers back in the mid-70s. You were playing for Dalts Honda, one of the great ball hockey teams, and won a couple of Canadians championships. We always said we never played against each other. We always said someday we're going to play together. And yesterday we made it happen for the first time. And you carried me a little bit. I don't know about that, Lou, but I would like you to please tell our listeners what caught your eye yesterday.
Well, you know what? It was a great day. I've always looked forward to playing on this day just because of the friendships that I've made over the years and the competitiveness of some guys that that really should stay home sometimes. But I did see history in the making, ladies and gentlemen. I saw our host score not one, but two goals. But hold on, yesterday. But the first goal that he scored, the goalie had his back turned. And the second goalie, I think they pulled the goalie. So he had an empty net to score.
Okay, Lou, I'll give you the opportunity to correct the record.
Yes, I
don't like to pat myself on the back, but it's been a long time since I scored a goal from the old ball hockey wars of the late 70s and early 80s. So got the ball at center, and the rinks are a lot smaller, not center in a regular size rink. But and I, Lou, you got to admit, I roofed it. The ball,
absolutely did.
Man, the goalie blinked and the ball went right by him in the top corner, and I was so shocked. I go, oh my goodness! I actually went and picked up the ball. I go, it's been over 45 years.
You should get Louis Franceschetti to sign
no,
it.
No, he's going to say Louis grabbed the ball for me and put it in his bag. I go, it's been 45 years, more than 45 years since I've scored a goal. And I go, I couldn't believe it. It was a lot of fun. A couple of assists, a couple of other goals too. So, which was not the point of the tournament. There's no winner. There's no MVP. There's no scouts. It's all for fun. But, That one snapshot brought back a lot of memories, from the old days, and the legs aren't there anymore, Lou. We have to rely upon being wily veterans, and I got to compliment you, my friend, as well. You were a stalwart back there. Your legs aren't what they used to be, but you showed flashes of brilliance. I will put it that way.
Well, thank you for the compliments, Wally. It's you know what? It's not that our legs aren't there. It's just that we don't do it a lot. So when you
you know what? The most powerful force in the universe is time, my friend. Father Time, to a certain extent, has caught up with us. But I'll let you finish your thought.
It was a great day. I had a front seat view of the goal. I could not believe it. You turned around and you just said, that's what it's all about. It was just an unbelievable feeling on my behalf. And then you go out and score a second goal, which was even more scarier than the first. And one of my friends had the goal taped.
So and we actually, we can prove it. Your buddy was taping. I got the clip. I got to save that one for the archives too. I sent it to my kids and my grandkids, and my son-in-law said he says he hopes my grandsons. I've passed on my sniping ability to my grandsons. I go, I hope they do a lot better than I did. I'm sure they probably have more talent than I ever had. But as you can tell, as our listeners can probably tell, we're having a lot of fun talking about this, and that's what it was all about. An incredible day raising money for the Princess Margaret Cancer Foundation. It's an incredible organization, the great people at Princess Margaret. We talked to Brendan on our show last Sunday, Jordan and Lucas, and all the amazing people and the amazing work that these people do. And we got the opportunity to see some cancer survivors yesterday, got some opportunity to some of the leading cancer researchers in the world were there. Telling us about all the great work they're doing. Really, really heartwarming stuff. I know we talked to Carlo Koliakovo last week and the challenges his son Leo has overcome. Man, it's one of those days you always remember. So much positivity and so much fun from so many different directions. And man, I'll remember that one going top shelf. I remember that one for a long time, Nez. You and I fought a lot of ball hockey wars together.
Yeah, we sure did. And we scored a share of goals, I'm sure.
Yeah, a long time ago. And I also want to thank the great people at Pizzaville once again. They we had a little event at the Miller Thompson offices between games, and they sponsored us, sent over a bunch of their pizzas, some wings, some arancini, and their fantastic new sourdough product, a sourdough pizza crust, Pinza Romana. If you haven't had it, it's amazing. Go to your local Pizzaville place and pick one up. And also, if your furry friend, your dog, they still have the Charlie's Treat special going on. It's a great, in honor of their beloved Charlie, white meat nuggets for your dog. Go in there. They've got that special still ongoing. Guys, this is just to let our listeners know where we're going on the rest of the hour. We've got Joe Theismann coming in. We're going to talk some Bills. We're going to talk some NCAA football, some NFL football. We've got John Steinbrenner. It's the Ryder Cup going on this weekend down at Bethpage Black. It ain't quite going the way the Americans had anticipated, the way they liked. It's some people have called their performance embarrassing. We'll talk to the great golf journalist, our good friend John Steinbrenner, bottom end of the hour. We'll bring up to date. And Something really important is going on today down pretty close to where our station is, right? And if I look out the window, I can see the CN Tower. We can see the Rogers Center. The Toronto Jays, they're tied with the New York Yankees. And if they win today or the Yankees lose, they finish first overall in the AL and they get a break till next Saturday. If they lose and the Yankees win, they're a wild card and they got to play Tuesday. This is a huge game. You don't want to mess up your pitching staff. It would be great if the Jays win and they get to rest their pitching staff this week, having to go back at it again. So this game means the world, Naz. And I notice you're sporting your Toronto Blue Jays cap this morning.
Yes, certainly am. Kevin Gausman will be the hero today, I think, Wally.
Well, he's you know what? He's their ace, and you couldn't ask for a better guy on the mound. They're going up against Tampa. They beat Tampa, you know, Friday and yesterday. So, you know, you got to go into the most important game of the season, and in a lot of ways their most important game in years, and who better than Kevin Gausman to have on the mound? So that's the guy you want. But you got to win this game, because if you don't win the game, then you don't know when Gausman's going to be able to pitch again. He may not get another start. So this game today for the Blue Jays, and I think it's 3 p.m. if I'm not mistaken.
They're all playing
just so that there's no advantages one way or the other. Lou, I know that you are a massive, massive New York Yankee fan. We've come to blows over Jays and Yankees over there. It's not physical blows, just verbal blows. Huge day for the Yankees too, and their guns, man, Judge and Stanton, they've been knocking the cover off the baseball lately. So huge day for the Jays, also huge day for the Yankees as well, Lou.
It definitely is. It all depends. Like, both teams are going to, well, I guess not. If the Yankees win and Blue Jays lose, New York's got the extra couple of days off. But what I'm looking at right now is if Gausman goes today and he loses, you know, who do they got to start off the wild card series on Tuesday, Wednesday? Because right now their starting rotation has been depleted.
Yeah, with Bassett.
Though the young kid pitched really well yesterday, you know, it just screws everything up for down the road. You know, it's going to be a hit and miss today, even though Gausman, I think at home is something like 1.3 or 4 ERA at home in his last probably six starts in September. You know, it is what it is. This is what baseball is. It comes down to the last day for seedings, and I'm hoping that the Yankees come out ahead, and if they don't, let's just say they got to go to Boston has to go to New York to play, and then we'll see what happens after that.
Might be a bullpen start coming up, eh? If they go into the first round.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of projected. It's so critical for the Jays to win today, to get the week of rest to set up their pitching rotation. I mean, I've seen a couple of projected rotations. And they've actually, you're right, Naz, if they've got to go Tuesday night, the projected starter is either Max Scherzer, which makes me a little bit nervous, or a bullpen start. And that's not optimal. And, you know, if the Jays manage to secure the first overall, and they don't have to play it, you know, you may get Bassett back, and it just sets up the rotation completely differently. You get Gausman, you know, starting, then you get if you get Bassett back, you get this kid that just came up, and then they've got some options after that, I guess, with Scherzer and Berrios. So I guess we keep emphasizing how critical this game is today. It really is, because pitching, you know, you get into the playoffs, you know, they say how important pitching is, but you know how you're able to throw your pitchers out there is just as important. So if we're able to get a, you know, but you got to go Scherzer first game, or a bullpen rotation. in a wild card.
I'll take the bullpen any day.
Will you?
Yep.
Lou? Haven't been too impressed with Scherzer lately. I mean, Wednesday night's game, the game was, people were still getting into their seats, and the Red Sox were already up 3-0.
Well, Scherzer hasn't been able to get out of the first inning.
Yeah.
That's going to be a major problem, because then it's just going to deplete your bullpen. So it'll be interesting to see. It comes down just like the NFL football, the last game of the year or the last weekend of the year. Everybody plays at one time, so it's not a do or die. They're both in the playoffs, and
then see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
Well, I know the Yankees. You got Judge and Stanton. They're rocking and rolling these days, man. They're they're a tough couple outs, and I can't necessarily say the same thing for what Guerrero's been doing the last couple of weeks. His bat seems to have gone silent. Bo Bichette isn't around. He was the hottest hitter in the league for a while. So from that point of view, you know, if the Jays are going to be successful going through the playoffs, Naz, I mean, Vladdy's got to wake that bat up.
The ultimate goal is not to get thrown out at first base from the outfield. Okay? That was terrible.
You're referencing, I think, Naz.
Alejandro Kirk.
I was actually at
you
that
game. You saw that.
Yeah, I did. I was there, and I was sitting right along that baseline. I was with a couple of buddies who were looking at it. And for our listeners that didn't watch the game, Alejandro Kirk, who's the... He's the, what do you want to call him, the rotund or the roly-poly catcher? I just love Alejandro Kirk.
He's had a pretty good year.
You know, I just love him. He's the everyman. He's the everyday guy who plays catcher. He's like short and stocky, and he's got great attitude, and he hits one out. He hits a single in the bottom of the ninth on Wednesday night, and he gets thrown out at first base. And I'm with my buddies. We're looking at each other. I go, did that just happen? I go, I can't ever remember somebody hitting a single and getting thrown out.
Have you seen it happen? My goodness gracious.
But I love it. Having said that, I'm laughing at, not laughing at him personally. He's had a fantastic season. I'm just laughing at the play. I love Alejandro Kirk. I really do. None of this is meant as a criticism of him. I love him as a catcher. I love his attitude, and he's a great personality. But I can't say he's a speed merchant, Naz. Remember the time he got thrown out trying to steal second base? I remember when all the Blue Jay players were laughing on the bench?
He has one stolen base this year.
I got to give him credit, man. I mean, the guy, he's not a speed demon. He's not Ricky Henderson, let's put it that way.
He has deceptive speed. He's slower than he looks.
Lou, you wanna chime in our little chuckle here?
No, you know what? I'll let from Mr. Kirk enjoy the moment. I saw that he got thrown out at first base, and then you bring up Ricky Henderson. I think Ricky can probably run faster backwards than Kirk runs forward. So, it's all part of sports, guys. We need to have some laughs. There's a lot of stuff that goes on in all kinds of sports, and obviously with what happened on, I think, Friday or Saturday night, It was just one of those things that he hit the ball so hard on a one hop to the right fielder that the right fielder took a shot at trying to nail him at first base and got him.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. So obviously this afternoon, we'll be watching it intently. We'll just say go Jays go. Another big matchup in the who the Yankees got today? They got the Orioles. Who's on the mound for the Yankees?
Luis Gil.
And what's his?
Well, they've got their pitching staffs all set for the playoffs.
Oh, do they?
They got Fried going, whether it's Tuesday or Thursday, and they got Rodon backing them up, and then they got either Seester. The rookie who's throwing 100 miles an hour. So they've got everything all set up, win or lose.
And Tigers in Cleveland, they haven't figured out who's won that division either. Naz, the Cleveland, I was about to call them the Indians, so they're not the Indians, the Guardians. They and the Tigers are even up right now too. So they their 3 o'clock games make the difference in the world as well.
Yeah, Houston's out, so that leaves Detroit and Cleveland as the final spots for sure.
And Lou, the wild cards, how's it shaping up? I guess the Red Sox.
I don't know.
The Red Sox
really
have confirmed, right?
No, I don't know whether. Whether the Yankees could actually play Cleveland or Detroit. They've always said that they're going to play Boston, but they're all one game apart from each other, and yeah. I don't know who has the tiebreaker there.
Yeah, I don't think until all the dust settles today, I don't think we know who's playing who. So that
standings show that it's Boston and New York in the first round if it stays the same as it going into today's action.
But if the Yankees win the division, no,
yeah, that's right.
We don't know who they're going to get because you got to wait for the wild cards, right?
If it was to stay the way it is, it's Boston and New York first round.
Yeah. Anyways, we're looking forward to another huge Jays celebration today, Nez. Lou,
I hope so.
Yeah, you know, I sort of joke about it. They had a big celebration last Sunday because they made the playoffs. I guess that's part of baseball culture. I don't get it. I mean, you know, you're going to start popping champagne because you made the playoffs. I don't know. But if they win number one overall in the American League, I think that's probably deserving of a celebration. But, Lou, I know you got some issues about baseball celebrations and how they differ from hockey celebrations.
It you know what it is? It's just a sport. They've adjusted to celebrating from on the playoffs. In each round they win, and playing hockey, we only celebrate when we win the Stanley Cup. So it's just one of those things. I guess 162 games makes a difference over for 84, and teams, they take it upon themselves. I think they know that they're in the playoffs, but they haven't really won anything, and let's just hope that the managers can address that. That the journey is just starting.
Anyways, on that note, we're going to take it to break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk to football legend Joe Theismann. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville surprised the big pizza conglomerates by introducing Pizza Romana. It's a crispy Italian sourdough crust that's oval-shaped with gourmet pizza toppings. The big pizza conglomerates complained because they don't have the Pizza Romana sourdough crust. I guess that's just sour grapes. Order your Pizza Romana at pizzaville.ca or on our app.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
Durham Region, the wait is almost over because Mint Inc. is coming to Ajax. Whether you're a collector, player, or just love the thrill of the chase, Mint Inc. has you covered with the hottest sports cards, Pokemon, and TCG releases. From live box breaks to tournaments and exclusive drops, there's something for everyone. Follow Mint Inc. on social media or visit mintinc.ca for updates on their opening and all the events planned. Mint Inc. Ajax, coming soon to Durham Region. Get ready to collect, trade, and play.
Passion. It drives entrepreneurs, small businesses, and fast-growing companies. And passion inspires KPMG Private Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Private Enterprise is the number one private company advisor in Canada, navigating complex challenges to help you stay one step ahead of the competition. Search KPMG Private Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
MDF Mechanical has something in common with the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. A full-service mechanical company to building owners and developers in the GTA, we've been installing and servicing electrical, plumbing, and HVAC systems since 1986. And sometimes, Naz accuses Wally of blowing his own hot air. When we're not serving customers, the winning team at MDF Mechanical is listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour every Sunday along with you. So, let's enjoy the rest of the show. From one super fan to another.
Welcome to Specsaver, sir. How can I help?
Hello. I'm a senior, and I've heard that for eligible seniors, of which I am one, Specsavers are giving 50% off lens upgrades on their glasses, like thinner and lighter lenses or a sun tint. For seniors.
You don't look senior. You have to be 65 or over to get this offer.
Here's my ID, which is definitely not a fake.
Yeah, this says you were born in 1877.
Happy birthday
to me. Seniors get 50% off lens upgrades at Specsavers. Conditions and exclusions apply. See specsavers.ca.
Are they ever wrong about sports? I can answer that in two words. Impossible. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto. We're thrilled to welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour football legend, our good friend, Joe Theismann. Joe, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Wall. How are you? And hey, Naz, hope you guys are having a great, great Sunday. Getting ready to watch the Steelers and Vikings go at it early in the morning.
Yeah, they're starting in a few minutes. So that should be an interesting game, Joe. It's always, I love getting you on the show. First of all, I've just, you know, we haven't chatted in a while. I hope you're well. Everything okay in your life?
All is good. Thank you very much. Hope it's the same for you guys. You know, you can't forget my Argo days. I don't think the year has gone as well as we'd hoped. Am I correct in assuming that?
You are correct. You are correct, Joe. They're not doing fantastic. It's a struggle to make the playoffs. But as you're well aware, Joe, in the CFL, once you make the playoffs, you never know. You never know what can happen. It's not unusual for a third place team to win the Grey Cup. So,
not at all. Especially the Argos. We've been counted out a lot more times than not, and we managed to come out on top, so rooting for them.
We've got a lot of football south of the border. We'd love to chat with you about. I always love chatting with you, Joe, because I get to talk some Irish football against these Bama guys that I got to butt heads with here. Naz and Lou are Bama guys, and they're happy because Bama beat Georgia yesterday. But we had a slow start to the Irish season. Good game against a good team down in Miami. The offense seems to be clicking. You've got some talent. CJ Carr has performed probably better than we would have expected. We've got Jeremiah Love. We've got Jadarian Price. The offense is as good as any in the nation, from what I can tell. Defense, well, I guess we can fairly criticize it, but your overall take on the Irish performance so far this year, Joe?
Well, you know, we're probably two, maybe three plays away from being ranked, you know, somewhere in the top five in the nation. I mean, the catch the kid makes in Miami, you know, Carson Beck just sort of closes his eyes, throws the ball up, and the kid makes an unbelievable catch, and they wind up with a touchdown, changes that game. And, of course, I was standing right on the sidelines at the A&M game, and the kid, the tight end that caught the fourth down pass was right in front of me, and you talk about a balloon being deflated. That stadium with all those people was loudest I've ever heard it. And all of a sudden it went silent. So it's a couple plays here, a couple plays there, but the last couple of weeks we've shown the kind of football team we need to be. Certainly our pass defense is ranked 130th out of 132. So that's something that has to improve. And, you know, they've got a big tough game coming up here. I'm going to be out there for the Boise game coming up this week. And, you know, you're right about C.J. Carr, too. I think he's just continued to grow and get better and better and better with each week. I think Mike Denbrock, our offensive coordinator, has found ways to get the ball out of his hands into the hands of Jeremiah Love. I don't know why, you know, as a quarterback, this is going to sound a little crazy, but I don't know why Jeremiah Love's name hasn't come up in conversation about the Heisman Trophy.
No, I don't know why either.
He's the best back in football, and I would venture to say he's probably one of the best two or three players in all of college football. I mean, what he's been able to do, his versatility, he's the complete package. He's the bell cow for this offense. And you're right about Price is the same way. I mean, they're two great complementary backs. But Jeremiah Love is just really special. I'm glad he came back this year. Let's put it that way.
Joe, how good are the Washington Commanders?
I think they're another one. I mean, you know, Marcus Mariota's taken over this week again for Jaden because of the injury to his knee. I think it's a complete team. They've added some very key pieces. I think Larry Tunsil, left tackle, Deebo Samuel, I think made a big difference. And I think Cliff Kingsbury's still trying to figure out how to get the ball to all the pieces. When you have guys that are playmakers, you want to keep them involved. Part of the problem is if you have more than three, you got to figure out how to divide the passes up. I think that Terry being down this week, and it doesn't surprise me, after holdouts, we see players pull muscles, especially receivers. So I think they're very good. I think defensively, they're continuing to get better and better. They're not the biggest up front, but they really play well together.
Lou?
Joel.
Hey, Lou, how are you?
Doing well, Joel. Big old Capital Washington days. What was I going to say now? I lost my food for thought here.
Focus, Lou, focus.
I was going to ask you, the Kansas City Chiefs, are they...
Yes.
Are they the real thing this year, or more or less, are they just... They have faced teams that are in the higher echelon, and is Patrick Mahomes on the downside of his career?
I don't think so. Not at his age. I mean, they've played the last five Super Bowls. I mean, he won three. I wouldn't say they're on the downturn of the career. I think the Kansas City Chiefs need to find a running game besides Patrick Mahomes. They have to be able to establish some semblance of the run for them to be a more complete offense. They get James Worthy back this week, who can run like the wind. They've missed his speed. They've missed his athleticism. Travis just continues to sort of complain, I don't know. There's lots of little things going on. Defensively, I think they hang in there. And offensively, they just can't keep the defense off the field. So you get towards the end of the game, and they're tired. You get worn out. But I think the key to Kansas is if they can find a way to generate 120 yards running the football, they're going to be tough to beat because Patrick is Patrick, and Patrick will make plays. But he cannot be your leading rusher. And that I think, is the big problem in Kansas City. They have no running game.
We're talking to Joe Theismann. Joe, let's bring it back to Southern Ontario and Western New York here. Of course, the focus of attention in our market and are, of course, the Buffalo Bills. And Naz and I, and not so much Lou, we're long-suffering Buffalo Bills fans. We're off to a good start, 3-0. It's difficult to be critical of a team that's undefeated. They didn't look. There's parts of their games that I don't think have looked like world beaters. Their defense on third down against Miami wasn't the best. Let's put it that way. We tend to microanalyze the Buffalo Bills. Your assessment of the Bills so far?
I think they're the best team in football. Well, they really are. Josh is playing at a really high level. You know, a couple of years ago, Josh was making mistakes down in the red zone, down around the goal line. He's played the game so much smarter. Physically, he's a dominant source, throws the ball great. They've got speed different places. Cook is, I think, again, you have a running game which complements everything else. Defensively, they're a more balanced team than, say, you know, different ball clubs. Like, you look at the Ravens, basically just run the football. Don't throw it that well. Defensively, they proved that they're having tough difficulty stopping the run. But Buffalo, to me, I think if they – this is a team that should win the Super Bowl this year. They've been so close. They've been in the AFC Championship game. I think all the pieces are there. Now, I will say this one thing. You have to stay healthy if you want to be able to compete. and be able to get the prize. And so far, so good for them. It's a long season. This is a little bit of a scary game. They get Jackson Dart up in Buffalo for the Giants, which it's about time they started them. You know, I watched that Giant game last week, and on fourth down, I watched Russell Wilson throw the ball away, and you just can't do that as a quarterback. You can't just give up a play. And if he wasn't benched, it would have been unmerciful in New York. And it's time for, hey, you drafted the kid one, give him a chance to play, and it's going to be a great test for him against the Buffalo Bills team that I think is the best in football.
Ness?
How hurt is Jaden Williams, Joe? He's got a knee injury. How long is he going to be out?
It depends. I mean, you know, the way people are treated today, it's amazing how quick guys can come back. And I think because it's early in the season, they'll be very cautious with them.
Lou?
Again, you guys are caught me.
Well, I'm not going to scare you this time. I'm okay. Not going to scare you this time.
I know. I'm just gloating over the Tampa, not the Tampa, but the Bama game last night over Georgia. So Bama more or less dominated the first half, and then Kirby Smart went out and made some adjustments in the second half. Where do you see both these teams ending up as the season goes on?
I think you know they'll be you know ranked in the top five or six. You know you want to be in the top 12 so you can get into the playoffs. What surprised me about the game last night is Bama threw the ball really well in the first half and they moved the ball. And then the third quarter, it seemed like all they wanted to do was try and run the ball against Georgia's defense. And you know, they got away from what was successful for them in the first half. And then Georgia made some adjustments on offense that helped them. I mean, I thought it was a really, really good college football game. I really did. I thought, you know, it could have gone either way and it was close and it was an exciting football game.
Joe, going around the AFC, a couple of teams that are 3-0. I'm not sure if it's surprising or not, but I want your assessment of the still call them the San Diego Chargers, the LA Chargers, and the I was about to call them the Baltimore Colts too, the Indianapolis Colts. Justin Herbert seems to have taken his game to a different level. Is he now? You know, is he now in the category of a Josh Allen or a Mahomes or a Lamar Jackson? And how good are the Chargers? And Colts have looked pretty dominating in their three games. How good have they become?
Well, both teams are interesting. The Chargers, for example, you know, they're a complete, you know, Jim Harbaugh is going to have his football team ready to play under all circumstances. He reminds me a lot of Pete Carroll with the energy that he has and the things he does out on the field before the game and with his players. I mean, he's just a guy people want to play for. They had the best team in defense. They had the best defense in the league last year. They've got a terrific defense, and that's where it starts. And Justin's healthy. You know, he's had nicked up little injuries over the last couple of years. I think they're much more complete as a football team than they've been, and they run the ball well. And it's the same thing in Indianapolis. Indianapolis had a heck of a defense last year. They just didn't have a complementary offense. I think the experiment with the young quarterback is over. It doesn't surprise me that Daniel Jones is playing good football. It's the way – when Daniel Jones was in New York with Saquon Barkley, it managed to get him a brand-new big contract. They let Saquon walk, which I still don't understand how the people in management have a job there letting Saquon walk. Now you get rid of Daniel Jones. You still don't have a quarterback. Daniel winds up in Indianapolis – with a running back, and all of a sudden he's the Daniel Jones you saw of a couple years ago. It's a simple formula. If you have a running back that can help the offense out, your quarterback's going to do well if he's got any talent. And so this is, to me, it doesn't surprise me. Both teams are, I think, led and driven by the defenses. The Chargers are more complete. Indianapolis is still sort of figuring out a few things, but they're both really, really good football teams.
Cleveland Browns last week beat the Green Bay Packers in a very big surprise. How good is the defense of the Cleveland Browns?
Oh, the Browns, you know, again, we're talking about a great defense. That really makes a difference. Joe Flacco brings stability to the Browns. you know, but I mean, that was a game that the Packers basically, you want to say gave away, because in the National Football League, you earn everything. And what happened up there was, you know, they played bad football. I expect Green Bay to rebound this week, and Cleveland is, you know, they're just, will they be able to string some wins together? Will they be able to look the same each week, or will it be an up and down kind of a season?
We've been talking to Joe. Joe, we can't thank you enough for taking your time for us this morning. You're still beloved in the Toronto area and Southern Ontario. We still love you here like we always did from way back when. And we know how valuable your time is, and we can't thank you enough for joining us. And one last comment, if you have anything. I know you're a golfer, Joe. What are your thoughts on what's happening in the Ryder Cup?
I just think that, you know, right in the beginning, I thought Europe was basically a very stacked team, and we'd have to really, really play exceptionally well to be able to win this. But, you know, today's going to be a day where, you know, you see what we're going to be able to do, the U.S. How do you stand up when the adversity is as big as it is ahead of them? And I think they'll show up well today. I really do. But it's great. Hey, listen, I always appreciate coming on with you, because – after all, Toronto was my first NFL home. It was two of my three kids were born up there in Toronto. It's still a big part of my life, and I appreciate everyone in the community, appreciate the town. And you got the Blue Jays playing some pretty darn good baseball as well. So it's going to be, you know, it's exciting. It's exciting.
Thanks, Joe. We love you. We'll catch up soon. Thanks so much.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Joe Theismann. We'll take it to break. We've got John Steinbreder from Global Golf Post, and not a great performance by the Americans, and maybe that's the wrong way of looking at it. Maybe it's just that the Europeans are putting on a performance for the ages. Let's get John Steinbreder to break it all down for us. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville introduced...
Pizzaville?
Right. When Pizzaville introduced Pizza Romana. It's a crispy sourdough crust, oval-shaped, with gourmet pizza toppings.
Pizza toppings.
It's so light and delicious, once you try it, Pizza Romana will be all you can think about. Call Pizzaville for...
Pizzaville?
Call Pizzaville for Pizza Romana, or visit pizzaville.ca.
Pizzaville.ca.
Passion. It drives entrepreneurs, small businesses, and fast-growing companies. And passion inspires KPMG Private Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Private Enterprise is the number one private company advisor in Canada, navigating complex challenges to help you stay one step ahead of the competition. Search KPMG Private Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
MDF Mechanical has something in common with the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. A full-service mechanical company to building owners and developers in the GTA, we've been installing and servicing electrical, plumbing, and HVAC systems since 1986. And sometimes, Naz accuses Wally of blowing his own hot air. When we're not serving customers, the winning team at MDF Mechanical is listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour every Sunday along with you. So, let's enjoy the rest of the show. From one super fan to another.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
If you're into Pokemon, sports cards, or pop culture collectibles, Mint Inc. is the only place you need. Right off Highway 400 in Vaughan, Mint Inc. is the GTA's home for live events, trading experiences, and the best selection of cards and collectibles. They're an authorized PSA dealer, always bringing you the latest releases, and they're always buying cards, too. From Pokemon packs to sports slabs, toys, and more, Mint Inc. has it all. Check them out in Vaughan or visit mintinc.ca. Mint Inc. Collect. Play experience.
Opinions expressed on the Naz and Wally Sports Hour are those of Naz and Wally and their guests.
Welcome to Specsavers, sir. How can I help?
Hello. I'm a senior, and I've heard that for eligible seniors, of which I am one, Specsavers are giving 50% off lens upgrades on their glasses, like thinner and lighter lenses or a sun tint. For seniors.
You don't look senior. You have to be 65 or over to get this offer.
Here's my ID, which is definitely not a fake.
Yeah, this says you were born in 1877.
Happy birthday
to me. Seniors get 50% off lens upgrades at Specsavers. Conditions and exclusions apply. See specsavers.ca.
They never argue sports. They just explain while they're always correct. The boys are back. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome back to the Nads and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto. We're pleased to welcome back to the Nads and Wally Sports Hour our good friend John Steinbreder from Global Golf Post. John, good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm wonderful. How are you guys today?
We're doing fantastic. It's a concluding day at Ryder Cup down at Bethpage Black. John, this Ryder Cup might be remembered from an American point of view for all the wrong reasons. The Americans are facing a deficit that has never been faced since 1979 when it was converted to this Euro US format. They're behind the eight ball by 11.5 to 4.5 points. I would say their odds of recovering from this are not pretty good. A lot of things haven't gone well this week for the Americans. A lot of it's just because the Europeans are playing historically good golf beyond all comprehension. The behavior of the fans at Bethpage leaves something to be, let's just leave it at that. Perhaps a lot of unfortunate stuff has been said, but your reaction to all of this, it hasn't gone the way I guess the U.S. would have wanted.
Well, first of all, I think we ought to be doing this call with some heckling going on in the background. I don't know if you could pipe anything in while we're chatting about this. No, it hasn't gone the way the Americans would like, although I take maybe a little bit of a different view because I don't consider myself a complete homer on this set. I'm not surprised in some ways. There's just something we've seen this time and time and time again. The Europeans just have a different approach, a different team spirit, a different camaraderie to the Ryder Cup than the Americans do. And this is just one more time when it's manifesting itself. It's a little odd that it's happening, on home turf for them. I mean, especially at Bethpage Black, and especially as the home team traditionally does so well in these matches. But, in a lot of ways, I'm not all that surprised at how it's gone. And it's amazing. I was watching yesterday a little bit. I didn't get quite as much work done in the afternoon as I had hoped because I kept going back to the TV, and I couldn't get over how well the Europeans played. The Americans didn't play badly. Europeans played out of their minds. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't believe the par and birdie putts I saw being made after the Americans had made a par and birdie putt. The Europeans, put theirs right on top of their opponents, and I just couldn't believe it, and I think Paul McGinley spoke very well to that, just that it wasn't the Americans were playing poorly. It was just the Europeans played at a level that I've never seen before in the Ryder Cup, to be honest with you. I mean, they were like, 11 under in some of these, matches in the afternoon. I mean, it was extraordinary what they did.
I'm going to turn over to Naz, but going on that point, just watching Tommy Fleetwood and Justin Rose and McIlroy and Rahm and Terrell Hatton and Lowry, these guys were playing out of their, I don't know what the cliche is, out of their minds or out of their, it was just it was just incredible. It must have been so deflating for the Americans to see what these guys were doing. Anyways, I'll turn it over to you, Naz.
Scottie Scheffler and Tiger Woods have something in common, John. They don't do very well in these events. What's the reason for that?
That's a great question to ask, and I really don't know, because I think they couldn't be more different people. I mean, I always thought that Tiger just really didn't care all that much. He was so self-absorbed and so about his own thing that I just think the team concept in golf didn't appeal to him. It just didn't really connect with him. I think Scotty's a completely different cat in terms of he doesn't seem to be nearly as insular as Tiger was. So it's a good question. I have no idea. It's amazing how those two guys, being as good as they were and are in Scotty's case, have such poor records in the Ryder Cup. I just can't understand it, because I think they're coming at it, in my view, from two completely different standpoints. I think Scotty's embraces the team concept. I think he's, you think he'd do better. But again, I'd have to put a lot of what's happened these first couple of days on how well the Europeans have been playing. I really think that's been the difference in this whole thing, how well they're playing and how well prepared they are. And this goes back to Luke. It goes back. I just did a major piece on Eduardo Molinari for us at Global Golf Post. It ran, and I think it has a lot to do with that. And I think there are lots of elements going on. And, you know, let's also not forget the course conditioning right now. We've had the most perfect fall and summer. It was dry as hell, and then it rained for a couple of days. And that golf course is soft. It is very receptive to shots into the green, and you've got lift clean in place, and it just makes it a little bit of a different deal. I think it's taken some of the teeth away from Bethpage, and you saw some of those shots. I mean, there were several holes. You'd see three or four of those balls within 10 feet of the pins on the greens. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, you would normally see Bethpage is considered one of the toughest golf courses in the world. And it's not showing that, and this setup of it, we can micro criticize all kinds of different ways of whether there's supposed to be home field advantage and all of that. And you talked about the Eduardo Molinari piece, and I do want to come back to that, but I do want to give the opportunity to Lou to engage. Lou, I'll turn over to you, and then John, I'm coming back to you with your piece in Global Golf Post about Molinari. Go ahead, Lou.
Yeah, John, I've had the privilege of playing Bethpage Black three or four times, so I know what these guys are going through. The big question for me is Bryson DeChambeau such a big jerk? Because I'm looking at him playing, and he is so much of an individual golfer that there's no interaction between him and the partner that he plays with. Where you look at the European, it doesn't matter who they put together, there's always interaction. It's always team play over an individual play.
Yeah, I don't think that's an unfair characterization. I mean, I was sort of enjoying the contrast between DeChambeau and Rahm, and I felt that DeChambeau is still, you know, he's a little bit on the outside looking in on the American team with his defection to Live. And meanwhile, Rahm, even though he went to Live, and I think even though he regrets the hell out of going to Live, he seems to be not missing a beat as far as being a member of the team for the Europeans, and just the way he was playing versus DeChambeau, I think you make a good point there. I mean, I think Bryson's, again, I use this phrase, a different sort of cat, and I think he's always been very individualistic, and he's you know, kind of the mad professor, and we have all the different stuff, and he just doesn't seem to be clicking as a part of the team as well as Rahm is, for example, clicking as a part of the European team. I don't know why it is. I just think he's a quirky, very individualistic guy, and you know, maybe he's hard to play with. I mean, I think that was one of the things with Tiger and Phil both, right? They were not easy to play with, and I think, you know, people had a hard time pairing them up with folks. And I know the U.S. is doing some statistical, some analytical stuff, and I'm very curious what their analytics were saying about how the hell you hook up, who you hook Bryson up with and how.
On that point, John, go to Eduardo Molinari, and you did an exceptional piece in Global Golf Post. My congratulations for your piece this week. Molinari is the analytics guy. for the Europeans. Luke Donald has relied upon him at the last Ryder Cup. He's got 40 pros that he helps, and we don't think of golf as an analytics game like some of the other professional sports, especially baseball. They're all into analytics, hockey, football, but golf is now too. And Molinari is like, he's a genius. He's got a degree in engineering. It's Eduardo, who was a great golfer on his own. He's an engineering grad. He's a number cruncher. And he's been advising Luke Donald, and he's been advising him how to pair players together based on strengths of their game. And I want you to comment on how this actually does make a difference for the captains. And let me throw something at you. Keegan Bradley is going to get the criticism, deserve it or not deserve it. He's not the guy out there hitting golf shots. And the Europeans are playing out of their minds, so you can't pin this on Keegan Bradley. But he's gonna get a lot of criticism. And let me throw you a stat. Friday, Keegan Bradley paired Harris English with Colin Morikawa in the foursomes. According to Data Golf's analytics, They were considered the 132nd best American foursome matchup out of 132 options. They were the worst possible statistical group Keegan Bradley could have put together. And I'm sure when Molinari saw that matchup, he must have been wringing his hands. Tell us all about this analytics in golf and how this makes a difference.
Well, I think you just explained it brilliantly there. Yeah, it makes a huge difference. It does. And what he and Luke did, and they did this at Marco Simone 2 years ago, is they sorted out through his analytical work that, you needed to get off to quick leads. That the first hole and winning, and being up after three holes was really, really important in doing this. So they did a lot of practice in their practice rounds where they would play one hole and three hole matches with each other and got used to doing that. It's a little bit like, to use a football analogy, where Bill Walsh of the San Francisco 49ers used to script the first 10 plays of the game beforehand and figure out a way how best to attack this team and how to get it right off the bat like this. And it worked so well. And this worked brilliantly in Marco Simone, and the European team was able to build up big leads on the first 2 days in the morning rounds, in the morning sessions, and they did it again, 3-1 on Friday morning. What was it, 2.5 to 1.5 on Friday afternoon, and then 3-1 again yesterday morning. I mean, so that was one thing that they were geared toward, whether it was how they put the teams together, but just how they played and got them thinking about the importance of getting off to fast starts. And the second thing was that what Molinari did back in Marco Simone, and what he's done again now, is just, come up with 66 of the, looked at all 66 possible combination with his players and determining which ones were the best ones, both in terms of who they would play with and what foursomes or four balls or what format they would be best suited for. Things of that sort. And you're 100% right. Harris English and Colin Morikawa, I don't know if I think they may have needed to be introduced to each other at the first tee. I don't think they had ever played together with each other, and they had no idea. And meanwhile, these groups that you've got with Lowry and Rory, and then Rory and Tommy Fleetwood, and then Fleetwood and Justin Rose, and I mean, these guys just click like they've been playing together their whole lives. It's unbelievable. So I think that was, a huge advantage to the Europeans. And Luke having done this again, and I make the point in the article, it's so funny. Luke was an art history major at Northwestern, and Molinari, of course, is an engineering major. So they have, yin and yang in terms of which sides of their brains are working. But it's amazing how well Luke has embraced this. And it worked beautifully 2 years ago, and it's worked to perfection right now. But he talks a lot about giving his players, what this is too, is giving his players the confidence. So when they go out there, they know they are so confident that this is the right pairing, the right people at the right time, And it just adds to their ability to excel and do well because they believe that they're better prepared and better set up than the other team.
Yes.
John, how far are we away from a LIV versus PGA match?
I think we're a ways away from it. I mean, I just don't think – I think LIV has become kind of irrelevant,
yeah.
You know, hasn't it? It's just –
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think people really care about it that much. And I was thinking yesterday, if you wanted to – watching yesterday, if you wanted to see Exhibit A as to why LIV is not going anywhere, look at the look on John Rahm's face. He hadn't looked that joyful and that happy since he went to LIV, and I think, you know, he would recommend to anybody, don't do it. He made a huge mistake. I think Koepka feels he made a mistake. I don't know about Bryson. I can't say to that, but Rahm was having so much fun yesterday, and I just don't think LIV is, these guys are seeing that LIV is not really the place.
No.
It's not the place to be.
Nobody watches it.
People get into it. You know, nobody watches it.
Nobody watches it. Nobody cares about it.
You're not going to get people going over there. I don't think you're going to see that same move of really top people going over there.
It can't take, you know, it's just, it can't take off unless people actually watch it. Nobody watches it. And
100%.
We'll just leave it at that. Lou, we've got about 2 minutes left. Go ahead.
Do the Americans have a hope in hell coming back today, especially with the four or five early matches going on?
2 minutes, John. Go ahead.
I don't think it's a short answer. No, I don't think so. I really don't. I just think they're so out of sorts, and it's such a confidence game. And I will say that I'm looking forward to the Rory Scheffler match.
Yeah.
I think that'll be a lot of fun. But no, I don't think they have a prayer in hell, and it'll be interesting to see how the afternoon goes. It's a beautiful sunny day out here. I'm sure the New Yorkers will be soaking up the suds and the and whatever else is being served
on
the concession stand.
On that point, John, the fans have come under a lot of criticism, probably a lot of it deserved, but it's a sporting venue. It's New York. It's New York probably being New Yorkers. The suds are flowing. Are the Europeans taking this a little bit too far? They certainly must have expected. Mind you, I know that a lot of the comments about Rory were personal and over the top and completely unacceptable, but are they making too much of it?
I think it's tough. I mean, I think they did a pretty good job yesterday hanging in there. The comments were terrible. They were very personal. I mean, you start to get into, you know, also they're bringing up the troubles a little bit between the Irish and the English, and that's a tough one. But I remember back in 2002 at the U.S. Open, the words the Americans were calling Monty would make a longshoreman blanch, and Sergio with his regripping, and I think it's become a part of the Ryder Cup. I personally don't like it.
No.
I don't think there's a place for it in golf, but, you know, they had as many state troopers out there for Rory and Lowry as they did for Donald Trump. So I guess they tried to take care of it as best they could. I hate to see it happen, but it's going to happen, and, you know, it's going to get ugly when it goes back to in a dear manner, I'm sure, too. So it's just part of the Ryder Cup in this day and age. I wish it wasn't that way. And I guess everybody kind of hung in there. But, boy, it got ugly, didn't it?
It sure did. John, we've gone past our scheduled time. We've got to let you go. We can't thank you enough. It's always, you know how much I love talking golf, and I love talking it with. There's nobody else I love talking golf with than you because you're so knowledgeable and so passionate. And can't thank you enough for taking the time for us. Thanks, John.
Always great to be with you guys, and have a great afternoon watching this, and we'll talk soon. I look forward to it.
I appreciate it. Lou, thanks. Get some rest. Heal your sore muscles. And Naz, as always, I give you the last word.
Let's go, Jays.
Let's go, Jays. We'll be back again next Sunday morning. Have a fantastic week, everyone.
Opinions expressed in the following program are those of the Faith Group that has purchased the airtime. No endorsement by Zoomer Radio is implied.
Welcome to Specsavers, sir. How can I help?
Hello. I'm a senior, and I've heard that for eligible seniors, of which I am one, Specsavers are giving 50% off lens upgrades on their glasses, like thinner and lighter lenses or a sun tint. for seniors.
You don't look senior. You have to be 65 or over to get this offer.
Here's my ID, which is definitely not a fake.
Yeah, this says you were born in 1877.
Happy birthday
to seniors get 50% off lens upgrades at Specsavers. Conditions and exclusions apply. See specsavers.ca.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.